It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Rob Ferret. A project to prevent invasive carp from entering Wisconsin's Great Lakes via a choke point near Joliet, Illinois, has been in the works for years. In May, it finally got the go-ahead after being paused. The holdup came after the federal funding freeze nationwide led Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker to halt the project until the Trump administration confirmed they'd maintain their commitment to help pay for the $1.2 billion plan. The project at the Brandon Road Lock and Dam will use bubble curtains, electrical fields, and sound to keep the carp from the Illinois River out of Lake Michigan. Two state DNR officials join us now for a look at the project and keeping invasive carp out of Wisconsin waters. Amy Kretlow is the Aquatic Invasive Species Program Coordinator at the Wisconsin DNR, and Wade Strickland is Director of the DNR's Office of Great Waters. Wade, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
And Amy, thanks for being with us.
Thank you.
Amy, let's start with you. Before we get into the practicalities of keeping Asian carp out of the Great Lakes waterways, I want to talk about the why. We've been hearing about these guys for a long time. We have a lot of invasive species in the Great Lakes ecosystems. Why are we worried particularly about Asian carp?
Well, if Asian carp do get into the Great Lakes, they could really start to disrupt the food web in the Great Lakes. The carp that we're really worried about is our silver and bighead carp, which are filter feeders, and they do consume very large quantities of plankton. And plankton are the base of our aquatic food web, and they're with them being filter feeders, it could really reduce food availability for fish like yellow perch, lake whitefish, juvenile game fish, and alewives and bloaters.
Wade, this is a tale of two water systems, the Great Lakes and the Mississippi River. Wisconsin, of course, parts of it drain into each of those. And we have this man-made connection between the two. Can you talk about this artificial waterway and why this is now the front line in keeping the Asian carp from moving from the Mississippi, where it is and has gotten into the Great Lakes?
Yeah, the Illinois waterway has been constructed over 125, 150 plus years, and it's been engineered so there was a connection from the Great Lakes down to the Mississippi River and vice versa. Right now, we've got invasive carp right around Joliet, Illinois. So the Brandon Road Lock and Dam is actually positioned in that area. And folks have been working really hard through overfishing, intentional overfishing of Asian carp to kind of keep them there while we work on the Brandon Road project.
Now, talk us through the Brandon Road project. I almost seems like a horror movie, and the monsters are coming, and we are trying to build this wall to keep them from breaking through. What is happening in this lock and dam?
Yeah, so it's about a $1.4 billion project. It's been in the works under discussion and design and planning for about 10 years. And in that lock, the proposal is to include a bunch of different deterrents that would keep invasive carp from moving further towards the Great Lakes. Things like bubble curtains, acoustic deterrents, large engineered channels that we can put additional control measures on, and actually a flushing lock to keep the fish moving downstream.
Wade, what is a bubble curtain?
So a bubble curtain, if you can think of just bubbles coming out of an aquarium, think of it like that, but it's fixed. The main one we're kind of thinking about or talking about now is one that's fixed on the riverbed, and it bubbles up really large bubbles, and the fish try to swim through them, and they get frustrated, and they head back downstream. The other thing that it helps do is other aquatic invasive species that move upstream, those bubbles will actually detach them from the bottoms of the barges and have them discharge downstream as well.
Now, Amy, part of the story is watching and observation. What do you do as part of your job to watch for where Asian carp are in Wisconsin, whether that's where we're really worried about now, the Great Lakes Basin or the waterways connected to the Mississippi Basin?
So in the Great Lakes, we do work collaboratively with U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service. And each year, U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service talks with Wisconsin, and we develop a monitoring plan that includes eDNA. And each year, we U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service does go out and they collect water samples in some of our major harbors, such as the Milwaukee Harbor and up in Green Bay. And we check for any kind of DNA from these silver or big head carp.
Wade, can you talk about the collaboration going on between different units and levels of government?
Yeah, so Wisconsin participates in something called the Great Lakes Commission. And the Great Lakes Commission has all of the 8 Great Lakes states sitting on it. And this topic, the Brandon Road Project, has been something that we've been talking about for 10, 15 years, really to kind of coalesce around an idea of what might work, where we might need to install these technologies, and how to get that funded. There's been a lot of work with the federal government to get funding secured. At one point, it was a 65 and 35 federal state cost share split, and we've gotten it up to 90-10 cost share split. And with the recent federal administration, there's been a memo that came out from the White House that has voiced support for this particular project. So that's been really great to see as well.
And Wade, that part of the story is huge. There's concern. A lot of funding that people previously assumed was coming from the federal government was canceled or blocked or delayed for review, things like that. And I understand that led Illinois at one point to say, well, hold on, we don't know if we can proceed with this because we don't know if the cash is there. It seems like all parties at the table agree that the money is there and that all this stuff can go forward. Do I have that right?
Yeah, Illinois and Michigan have been the non-federal monetary sponsors. So they've each contributed $50 million for Illinois and $64 million for Michigan. And with those investments, they wanted some assurances from the federal government that the project would move forward. Based on that request, the White House did produce that memo that said, we agree, we will fund this project. It's an important project to keep the Great Lakes free of invasive carp. So right now, all of that's looking really good.
Now, Wade, how close are the Asian carp to this Brandon Road lockdown? How close have they been detected?
So the general mass of invasive carp has not moved much past the Interstate 55 by Joliet, Illinois there. But, you know, we're talking 10, 15 miles away from the Great Lakes.
But Wade, even if it's a slow movement, how long is it going to take to have this stuff in place? Is there a concern that we might be too late to have these measures in place?
Certainly, that's a concern. Right now, based on some of the eDNA data that you heard Amy talking about, we don't have a concern that there's a reproducing population in the Great Lakes of those invasive carp. So time is of the essence. There's no doubt about it.
Amy, in the western part of Wisconsin where we have Asian carp, what are the borders now? How far have Asian carp moved from the Mississippi River inland into Wisconsin?
Actually, we just last year, our first reports of invasive carp in Wisconsin waters, and it was only on 2 of our tributaries, the Black River and the Chippewa River. And with those two rivers, they were found up to the first dam. So we're very fortunate to have a lot of these dams on our western side of the state to keep the invasive carp more on the Mississippi. But those are the only two real inland finds that we have discovered of invasive carp in Wisconsin waters.
So Wade, the timeline on this Brandon Road project, what's happening when?
Right now, we're actually at a really exciting juncture where there's two main increments. Increment one, which will add some of the large bubble curtains that we talked about earlier, and some of the acoustic speaker sound deterrents. And that increment is currently out for bids, with bids due back to the Army Corps of Engineers by August 28th of 2025. And so there will be some work done in that particular project, as well as some land acquisition work that the state of Illinois is working on with one of the utilities down there. That's actively ongoing. And then second, in the next couple of years, hope to finalize design and get funding and construction done for increment 2. And that will add additional electrical deterrent barriers, a larger acoustic array, and a flushing lock. And that will hopefully occur in the next 2 to 5 years.
And finally, Amy, I know for some aquatic invasive species like mussels, we want people, if they're moving boats from one lake to another, well, to clean them up real good, make sure you're not letting them piggyback on your boat. Are there things that the public can do to help stop the spread of Asian carp or make sure they don't contribute to the spread of Asian carp, especially in those rivers in western Wisconsin where we had those first sightings last year?
Sure. Some really good deterrents is using bait from bait shops. The bait from a bait shop is all regulated bait that we know that is not invasive carp. Another thing is always empty out your live wells with the water, just in case there could be some not only invasive carp, but any kind of other invasive species within that water. You want to always drain your boat and your live wells and always just make sure that there is no mud or plant material on your boat or your anchors or your trailer when you're removing it and going to another body of water. Another rule of thumb is usually try to, if you can, dry your equipment for a minimum of 5 days. That does get rid of not only invasive carp, but a lot of other invasive species that you wouldn't be transferring to another water body.
We'll leave it there. Amy, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
And Wade, thanks for being with us.
Thank you, Rob.
Amy Kretlow is an Aquatic Invasive Species Program Coordinator at the Wisconsin DNR. Wade Strickland is Director of the Wisconsin DNR's Office of Great Waters. We talked to them about a $1.2 billion project to prevent invasive carp from entering Lake Michigan via the Illinois River and the state of invasive carp in Wisconsin waters. Now we'll hear from an environmental educator about the work she's doing with Wisconsin youth to detect invasive carp in our state's waters. Amy Workman is the director of the Upham Woods Outdoor Learning Center, which sits alongside the Wisconsin River north of the Wisconsin Dells. Amy, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Thanks. I'm happy to be here.
Can you tell us about Upham Woods and the kind of work you do there in general before we dig into this this particular project?
Sure. Upham Woods Outdoor Learning Center is a residential program, which means that youth groups come and stay with us overnight. And so we have several different accommodations. We have cabins, we have a two-story dorm, and in the summertime, we also do an outpost camping program in tents for some groups. So it's all about connecting youth with positive outdoor experiences that are scaffolded so that they increase their level of skill and comfort and relationship with the outdoors and with each other over time.
When I think of outdoor activities for kids, you know, hiking and maybe orienteering, campfires, maybe tents, what I don't think about is genetic detective work in the waterways. What is going on with this environmental DNA hunt for these invasive carp?
Yeah, this project is really exciting and came about because, as you may know and your listeners may know, there was some invasive carp found below the Prairie du Sac Dam on the Wisconsin River way back in 2017. And so that raised the question of, are invasive carp found in other places in the Wisconsin River? And since we're located on the Wisconsin River, I thought this was an incredible way to engage youth in a really positive way where they're involved in the detective work of determining, or at least helping to determine, whether or not there's evidence of invasive carp in our section of the Wisconsin River.
All right. Now, if I'm a kid in this program, I'm a little old for it, but pretending, if I'm a kid in this program, what am I doing?
Sure. So first, you're learning about all the things we just talked about in terms of the impact of an invasive aquatic species on riverways and specifically invasive carp. But then what you do with that information is you take a kit, and we do this in six groups to six different locations that are along the Wisconsin River on Upham's campus. And the students actually collect a river sample, and then they filter it using an ultrafine microfiber filter paper. And then they cut up that paper into a tube that is a DNA extraction kit. And so the idea is all the cells that are shed from organisms in the Wisconsin River or that fall into the river are collected on that filter paper. Then the DNA extraction kit, they actually do the lab, which busts open all of those cells to release the DNA. That's the environmental DNA, is that it's that DNA that is in the environment, in this case, in water, that can be isolated. So they're collecting the samples, they're extracting the DNA from the cells that are captured in that filter paper. And then with all of the DNA mixed together from all of the different organisms, we are amplifying, and the students do this, we're amplifying just the DNA of interest, which in our case is our positive control, which is bluegill, because we know bluegill are in the Wisconsin River and we expect to find them. But then we also amplify, if present, two different species of aquatic invasive carp, and that is bighead and silver carp.
What has been the response from the young people doing this? It sounds like a lot of fun to me, as well as being educational.
It is, and that's kind of what we love about it, is that it is fun, but at the same time, they're learning so many things as they go. So one of our goals was to kind of expose the youth to the idea that science is a process. And so we have had students particularly say that, I'm so happy to be involved in a project that is real, that is not a cookie cutter lab where we know what the answer is because it's already been determined and the lab is set up such that we're trying to find kind of a predetermined answer. This is a big unknown. We don't know what we're going to find. And so it's really cool to have that real life mystery that we're helping to solve by engaging in this project.
If the students find, or the kids find, the bad news, they find that there's invasive carp DNA, do you report that to somebody then?
Oh, well, what we say and we make very, very clear to the youth that participate and the adults is that if we find evidence of invasive carp that does not equal a
right.
live specimen of invasive carp in the Wisconsin River, it is one piece of evidence that then we can share such that the agencies that are involved in the mitigation and the control of invasive carp, like the DNR and like the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service, can do further experiments and further tests to confirm whether or not that is the case. So this is like the early detection, early warning system that we can engage students in, knowing that we're doing this in an outdoor learning center environment where there is a possibility of contamination. But this is really important because what it does is it helps those agencies kind of direct their resources, their limited resources, in more targeted ways.
Now, whether we're talking about young people or grown-ups, what do you see as the value of citizen science, getting non-scientists involved in helping out with this kind of environmental research?
Oh, it's a great, great question. I think broadly for everybody, youth and adults, it's really important that people understand that science is a process. And as we learn more, as we get better evidence and better data, we come to better conclusions about all kinds of environmental challenges and problems. But the second thing that I'm really excited about is that there's just so much bad news about the environment. And so youth particularly are hearing stories about extreme weather events, flooding, heat-related illnesses, wildfires, forever chemicals, microplastics. There's just so much bad news out there that I think it's really important that we give youth positive experiences in that they're not helpless. You know, there are ways to positively engage in addressing and solving some of these environmental challenges, and that they can be part of the solution. They don't just have to hear about the problems and then feel anxiety or depression or helplessness about it. They can engage in positive ways that enable them to be part of the solution in addressing these problems.
Amy, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Amy Workman is director of the Upham Woods Outdoor Learning Center, which lies along the Wisconsin River north of the Wisconsin Dells. Talked to her about the work she's doing with Wisconsin youth to detect invasive carp in our state's waters. Earlier, we talked to DNR officials about the effort to keep invasive carp out of the Great Lakes.